Hello and welcome to the PopBreak.com's official Oscars podcast, hosted by Marissa Carpico and Matt Taylor.
This is Marissa Carpico, film editor at thepopbreak.com. I'm here with my co-host, Matt Taylor. Say hello, Matt.
Hi, everybody.
And we are here for our second episode of the season of the Way Too Early Oscar podcast. And it's already time for nominations. Oscar nominations came out today as we speak. And we are, you know, going to talk about them. As always, we're going to go through them category by category at some point. Start looking for those maybe in the next couple weeks. We've got to still see a couple things that we'll talk about in a moment, I'm sure. But we're going to just do, like, you know, initial reactions for now. Matt, what's your biggest surprise of the nomination morning, other than that Jack Quaid cannot answer or pronounce pachyderm correctly?
Listen, I'm not going to shame anybody. If I shamed someone for not being able to pronounce a word correctly, I would be the biggest hypocrite in the whole world. Honestly, there were more snubs than surprises for me, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But, like, some pleasant surprises, I would say. You know, we talked in our last episode about how it seemed a little dicey if Mark Ruffalo was going to get in for Poor Things. We'd like Willem Dafoe seemed to be the favorite supporting performance from that film, and I was getting a little worried because I think Ruffalo is, as we discussed last week, so good in Poor Things, and so, you know, when they said his name during the nomination, I was thrilled. I was definitely surprised to see in director Justine Triet for The Anatomy of a Fall, and maybe a little less surprised, but still surprised nonetheless about Jonathan Glazer getting in there for The Zone of Interest. But I think they're both, you know, interesting nominations. We'll talk about them both individually as we get – I would do that at our eventual Best Director episode. But, I mean, you know, they were, I think, kind of like not – not front runners for this race for a while, and they might still not be front runners to win, but interesting nominations. And I think one of my main thoughts is just that France probably is picking themselves for not submitting Anatomy of a Fall for their foreign film pick of the year, because it showed up everywhere else. So you know, they probably would have had an easy layup with putting that one in foreign film, even though I will say The Taste of Things, which got snubbed, but was their pick, I'm very excited to see in a couple of weeks whenever that opens near us. So,
yeah. Funnily enough, I've already seen it. I saw it when I was recovering from, like, the worst sinus infection I've had in a long time. And it was, like, a delightful thing to watch. I still have that review forthcoming. Because that day I was like, girl, it's just about leaving the house today. Yeah, I mean, I was really excited to see Perfect Days in there for...
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, because we saw that together at NIFF, like, what feels like 7 years ago now. But it was so delightful, and I was like, oh, is this not eligible for this year? Like, because it's coming out now, and I only am just now seeing people talk about it. I mean, obviously, it must have had a qualifying run at some point. But... yeah, like, I don't know. I think that's, like, one of the best movies of the year, frankly. And I was thrilled it was in there. Because I just, like, every time I see the trailer or think about it, which is actually pretty often, like, I'm just so moved by it. Yeah, I think the biggest one for me has to be, I mean, I texted you about it. It was, like, the nomination for Godzilla Minus One in visual effects. Like, what a great moment. I mean, I loved that movie and was blown away by it. I don't think I've ever... cried in a good Godzilla film, but, like, I teared up 2 to 3 times in that, and I don't know, it was like, that movie is really, really good. Like, you know, I'm excited for Godzilla versus Kong or whatever, or Godzilla plus Kong, whatever the new one is, but, like, I almost, every time I see that trailer, I'm like, why bother? Godzilla Minus One just came out. Like, we did it. We don't need to do this anymore. Godzilla movie perfected. And, you know, it's always nice to see Mission Impossible nominated, even though I had basically a nervous breakdown over that one. Not a nervous breakdown. It wasn't that bad. I was just like an existential crisis, if you will. I mean, I saw the damn thing like 4 times. But, you know, I'm always happy to see good old Tom getting a nomination. He sees movies every day, you know?
You know what the craziest thing is? This is the first Mission Impossible movie to get an Oscar nomination, which is
sick.
Yeah, sick and wrong, but you know, happy to see it happen finally. happy they finally caught up.
Completely, because like Fallout literally had one of the best scores I've ever heard, like in the last 10 years at least, for sure. Maybe if not my lifetime. And like they were like, do, gonna ignore that for whatever God knows what was nominated that year. I'm sure I know somewhere in my mind, but I don't know right now. Nothing I remember from that year. Speaking of, you know, happy to see Poor Things in score. That's always, I mean, I remember when we left that film, the two things I think both of us noted were the score and the costuming and actually the production design. And like, that film is such a good, like, you know, possible winner for all of those. And like, it was nominated for the most with Oppenheimer, I think, right?
Yeah, Oppenheimer got 13, and I think Killers of the Flower Moon and Poor Things both had 11, which is like second. So
That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing
to scoff at. Very good nomination count.
No, I'm thrilled to see it there. I will say, like, I was surprised by how much Napoleon showed up, because I thought we'd all agreed not to talk about it. You know what I mean?
It is kind of crazy. Like, I expected something, because like, I don't know, costumes maybe, or production design, because like, it's good, but like when they did it for visual effects, I was like, what happened?
Where, girl? Name one.
it's pretty crazy that they got in there.
Yeah.
But you know, happy I saw it already, so I don't have to seek it out right now. But yeah. It was definitely just kind of like, okay, that's weird. But it was, you know, at the very least, they could have given Vanessa Kirby a nomination, because we'll talk about it eventually. Supporting actress kind of weak this year, but, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. You haven't seen, well, have you just not seen Naiad? I think I already said it, but I think Jodie Foster's really good in that. Unfortunately, Annette Bening, now everybody has to memorize that she was nominated for Naiad, which is rough. Can't wait for you to see it. I think this is sort of snubby now, I guess. Well, actually, one more kind of surprise, you know. I am surprised. I guess I'm not surprised. I just didn't think America Ferrera for Barbie was still going to happen. Because, like, I do
it's
feel
crazy.
Like we
said,
act
oh,
like
wow.
she
yeah.
she wrote that speech, and she fully didn't. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. The way the crowd reacted was as if she wrote that speech and also Barbie itself. Like, it was wild. I don't know. It's just so fascinating to me every single time. I'm like, it's solid. I mean, I literally saw, like, 2 days ago, Sasha Velour performed a section of it in her faux lip sync number. So, like, sure, why not? But, like, I don't know. I just am constantly surprised. Even though, listen, I like that movie a lot.
Listen, I love that movie. Her getting in is kind of crazy.
It's crazy.
Let's just say it. Like, I'm already seeing a lot on my social media feeds stuff about, like, the anger towards Ryan Gosling.
Oh, girl.
Getting nominated over Margot Robbie, but, you know, Margot Robbie not getting nominated. As if Ryan Gosling, like, pushed Margot Robbie off a cliff.
Yeah, you know who they need to take that up with? Annette Bening. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not to pit women against each other, but down with Annette. Like, what?
Annette's just not a feminist ally, I guess.
No, she's not.
Yeah. Annette saw Oppenheimer and was like, did something else open today? I don't know. But
She said Barbenheimer who?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Annette, please don't sue us. We're joking.
Once again, we've lost a great actress as a listener. in terms of, like, things that I think might be qualified as a snub, but, like, this is me being – I mean, if I'm already being shady, let's just keep going. I am a little pleased that Past Lives, which really seems like for a moment, like, it might have the momentum to maybe get, like, like a Best Picture win, is mostly shut out. I mean, it got a picture nomination, which is nothing to sniff at, and a screenplay nomination, which, like, I don't know about you, but that movie has, like, dimmed in my estimation the longer I have gotten away from it. And I liked it at the time, okay, but, like, I don't know. I think my standard is very high for anything that feels like Before Sunset, you know? And I just, I don't know. I think the more that I think about that movie and read about it, the less I think there is to chew on, honestly. Even though, like, you know, it's not bad. I think it's, like, clearly connecting with a lot of people, and I don't necessarily begrudge that. But, like, I don't know. I was just kind of worried it was going to be, like, this dominant thing, and I just don't think it's, like, great, to be totally honest with you. I think you might like it more than I do, right?
I liked it a bit, probably a little bit more than you, but I was hyped for it going in.
Yeah, me too.
And it sort of felt to me, actually, like quite a few films from this last year, like they were movies that, you know, came out at Sundance and had like all this buzz for them. And then you finally see them a few months later after Sundance ends. And I was just like, oh, like that wasn't the revelatory experience that I was kind of thinking it was going to, which is perhaps unfair to judge against the movie, but it's just
I agree with you. I think we do have, you know, we talk about narratives and stuff all the time, and that did feel like, you know, the new independent cinema or something, even though it's not like that serious, but like, you know, every year there is something like that where you hear about it and you're so excited and then you're like, I don't think this is the best situation to see this under, you know? I don't know. I wonder if we had seen that without so much hype, it might be different, but unfortunately we do not live in that world. I am a little sad to see, I mean, I think a lot of good things happened for Maestro this time. You know, Carrie Mulligan getting nominated, what a thrill, honestly. I didn't think that was going to happen. And like Bradley Cooper, I think is maybe crazy in that. Like, I can't decide if I like that performance or not, but I'm like, I'm not mad that he's nominated or whatever, especially because he didn't get that director nomination he was clearly gunning for. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think the one place that it was really noticeable it wasn't there for me was editing, which like, it's a tough thing because it's like, You famously have the sort of idea of like, the most edited thing is not the best edited thing, but like, what if they're the same sometimes? And like, there's definitely better editing this year, but like, I don't know. I just think that like, is so audacious in the like way it's assembled that like, I kind of would have liked it for that. But that's like a minor thing. It's not like I'm not railing against anyone at this point.
I'm just happy it got in cinematography because that movie looks phenomenal.
Oh.
And like, if nothing else, it absolutely deserves being in there. So, you know, I'm happy about that. And I'm happy for Carrie and honestly Bradley, because I think he would have had a very upsetting day if he did not get nominated.
Joker moment. Joker moment, yeah. For sure.
He, you know, he needed this and I'm happy for him. He's probably so mad Oppenheimer was this year. He's like, he's like, can I kill Killian? Is that possible? Like, what would that help? What will that do? But
he's like texting threats to Chris Nolan from a burner phone for sure.
Yes. But also desperately wants, is like, why wasn't I in Oppenheimer?
Every exactly. Well, that's why it's a burner phone, because he doesn't want to burn that bridge completely.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the biggest snub, and I mean, we saw it coming, but I just still can't believe that like things worked out this way, is the Charles Melton for May December of it all. Like, there literally isn't a respect to a lot of those other nominees, but there literally is not a better supporting performance this year. There simply isn't. And like, I get he's young, but like, who cares? Some of these guys are turning in like, you know, rote performances that they like could do in their sleep. Like, this kid was a revelation. I mean, he came from fucking Riverdale, for God's sake. Like, I don't get it. Whatever.
I'm going to be honest with Charles Melton snub. The thing that just keeps bothering me is this is a stacked category. Like, you know, Downey Jr., Gosling, both have genuine narratives to win.
Yeah.
I think, and we've both talked about how much we love Ruffalo in Poor Things. I am like shocked Sterling K. Brown got in here because we talked a little last week. I like American
what
Fiction.
What was that?
Yeah, I think American Fiction is a good movie. He is not necessarily, like, you know, someone that I think stands out in that film. And then on top of that, it's like, he'll do something else. Like, he's, you know, relatively young. Like, his show is over, so he has, like, the free time to do more films. That he'll get nominations down the line. It's not like this was the one chance to nominate him. I'm just like, damn, like, that should have been Melton's slot, I gotta say.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a shame. Yeah, it's like, we love Sterling K. Brown, but, like, it's true. He's gonna have so many more chances. Someone from Riverdale simply will not. Unless, actually, it's Lily Reinhart, who, it's worth noting, is the exec producer of Invincible. So she could still be, Invincible is a short film, by the way. She could actually still be the first person from Riverdale to win an Oscar. There is a chance that it can still happen this year. And honestly, we've been proven right, because we've talked about it, I think, on the podcast before, of, like, a friend of mine who once said the most talented person on, or, like, ranked the people on Riverdale from talent and put Lily Reinhart at the end, and then somewhat at my work as a joke. But in a sort of serious way that, like, I think a magazine or someone picked it up. I don't remember. But or I think they, like, agents might have seen it, actually. Made a PowerPoint presentation about how that's not true, basically. And, like, as I'm telling you, if she wins that Oscar, I am texting Morgan the second it happens. I'm going to be like, so, what are your thoughts, Miss Law School?
I mean, listen, it would be pretty fun if she won.
It would be so funny. Like, because again, like, we would all be proven right. We would all be proven right. Everybody who was Team Lily in that situation, because it was basically Team Lily or Team Camilla, and we'd be end up being right. I can't wait.
Listen, though, Camilla had that Amazon rom-com coming out with Marissa Tomei. I'm gonna watch that. Day it goes online.
She's no slouch. She is no slouch.
You can best believe that. I'm also, just back to May December for a minute. Julianne Moore's snub hurt also, because that felt possible still.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I guess she didn't write Barbie, so it doesn't, you know, there was that going against her. But I do think, you know, she would have been a great nominee. She's so good in May. Honestly, my favorite supporting actress performance of the year.
Because, you know, she comes up with the lisp, and the lisp is so integral to the film. It's like, yep. There has to be a special award for best choice. You know what I mean?
That movie has a lot of choices, and they should have been all honored, and unfortunately, only screenplay. But we do love that. First-time screenplay writer getting nominated. We love that. Congratulations, Sammy Birch.
Sammy Birch has a chance too. I mean, people love that screenplay. It is great. We already did talk about this, like, last week, but, you know, now that it's come true, it must be said, Zac Efron not being nominated for lead actor, again, I get he's young, but he's put in the work. You know what I mean? Like, he's been working a long time. I don't understand why, like, people just, like, pretended they didn't see it. You know,
yeah.
That movie, and, like, that movie itself is so good. Like, great cinematography, well written, really well edited. It's like, to me, it's like such an obvious kind of thing that should be nominated for Best Picture. Like, I don't know what happened with that movie. I'm so confused by it.
I'm shocked at how, you know, I don't know if A24 dropped the ball with campaigning, because, like, it's a hit. It made good money at the box office.
It's still in theaters, like, a month later.
It's just like, yeah, they just, it couldn't connect with voters. Even, it has a very good original song in it that I thought, like, maybe it'll sneak in there, but it did not. And I'm like, you know, no offense to Miss Diane Warren, but I am kind of like, the Cheetos movie? Like, it's like, over this one? What? But,
you know, it must be said that you were Nostradamus in this situation, because you said, I think the worst thing we're going to have to watch this year is Flamin' Hot because of the Diane Warren song. And I was like, girl, don't even say shit like that. And then look what happened.
It's, you know, it might not be the worst thing. There's some other things that I worry.
Yeah, it's going to be the creator of Golda, in my opinion.
We'll have to see, but it will be interesting to say the least.
I'm taking shots today. As Matt knows, my hot water and gas have not worked for 4 days. I'm basically a villain at this point.
You've broken the bottle. You are waving at invisible enemies.
I'm gonna be it like, you know, like poor Annette Bening's gonna be walking around like a Neiman Marcus or something, and I'm gonna be like, why did you do this? And she's like, who are you?
Listen, Diane Warren is an unstoppable force at getting nominated.
Oh my god!
And there was no way she was not getting nominated for it. I don't even think that movie played in theaters. I thought that was a Hulu movie, and somehow
I think it must have. But it was very, very brief, if I recall. I swear to God, I got about 45 emails from Regal about it. But all during the same week, because I had a very, very limited run. You know, speaking of the creator, I can't believe we're both going to have to finally watch it. You attempted to many times and then just decided not to at the last second. And I think I returned at least one or two tickets to it for sure. So, like, it's our most returned ticket movie of the year. And that's quite something.
Yeah, I was, you know, about to go. I live like two blocks from an AMC.
Yeah.
And it was like, I woke up one morning and I was like ready to go. And then I was like, I want to sleep. And I just went back to sleep. And
it's not like you have to bike places like I do. You could have driven.
Yeah, I could have driven. There were so many options that I was just like, you know what? I want to sleep. And, you know, I don't regret it. It's on Hulu. It'll
no.
be easy to watch.
No.
But I am just kind of like, huh, that one? Okay. But you know, it's fine. Well, I'm sure it'll be pleasant enough, maybe.
Sure.
It's fine. I was yeah. like, you know, there are worse ways. I just, you know, sleep is a nice thing to have sometimes.
Yeah, and I think the thing that always probably quietly, like, factored into this decision is I think that it's, like, 2.5 hours. And, like,
yeah.
every time I was like, oh, I don't think I can do all that. And now I can do that at home, you know? It's not a big deal.
Break into the chunks, basically.
Exactly. Do it when I finally have an oven again and maybe can cook food. I think my last one is that I'm excited about Nomona being nominated because it's finally going to force me to finish reading Nomona, which I've been reading for like 2 months or now a couple months now. I've like off and on, and then watch it because I've been excited about it for a while because I like everybody involved and here it's great. And like, also it is nice, I suppose, to have like something to look forward to in the animated categories. I mean, God bless you. As you said, you don't have to watch Wish now, which is, yep. You know,
I guess I'm great. Never going to see Wish there.
And you shouldn't. It's terrible.
I am excited to, you know, finally see Nomona. That one does look good. And I'm morbidly curious about Elemental because I
loved Elemental. I really did. I was so into it. I was like, this is embarrassing for me. Like, this is so embarrassing for me. But
against the brand.
And I loved it. I'm so sorry, everyone. The allegations are true. I loved Elemental. Like, really, like, go to Letterboxd and see, or just wait for me to talk about it in the most humiliating way possible. Any other points you want to bring up before we wrap up here, Matt?
No, you know, I'm excited to see where this race goes. I feel like there are quite a few categories that are like somewhat open right now, so it'll be interesting. And I even saw one person talking about, you know, like comparing Greta Gerwig's snub to Ben Affleck's snub for Argo, and
okay.
like wondering if this could push like a Best Picture nomination or Best Picture win forward. And I'm like, ooh, that would be interesting. I'm very curious to see where this goes.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be angry if Barbie somehow pulled a Best Picture win. Like, I mean, we'll talk about it a million times, and I did mention this before, but like, I don't think I've thought about another movie this year more at all, like constantly, and had like such so many things to chew on with it. And like, even though not every thought I have about it is positive, I certainly have critiques. Like, I just think there's like not a lot of commercial films that made $1 billion that have ever made me think that hard. Yeah. I mean, there's not, that's like, I don't even have to be unsure about that. That's just a fact, you know, like I don't think about most Marvel movies or like Disney movies, like things that would make $1 billion ever again. So, like, you know, I just, and like, not in a thoughtful way about like in an existential crisis way, you know? Yeah, I just think it's like, I think it would be really cool, but I don't know. It seems so wide open at this point. Like, so many of the nominees, that things that got nominated a shitload of times. So it's like, yeah, Oppenheimer's probably the front runner, but it's hard to say, you know?
It's early. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting.
Exactly. You can look out for us. The next thing we'll probably do is maybe the SAG Awards or something like that, and then individual category awards. Otherwise, it's probably just going to be individual category awards from here on out. Actually, you know what we always do? We end up talking about the SAG Awards in the individual category ones. So those will probably start in like 2 or 3 weeks. We want to film or record a podcast for our other an episode for our other podcast about the Oscars first. But yeah, look for these soon. I'm sure we'll start with something insane, like, you know, best makeup and hairstyling, like we always do. All right. Until then, you can find me at thepopbreak.com, probably writing in that review of The Taste of Things and other things possibly as well. And everywhere else on social media at Marissa Carpico. Matt, where are you?
You can follow me on Letterboxd at Matt T.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.